All right. Well, good evening, Praxis. I am very glad that we're all here tonight to be encouraged by the life of George Mueller. And if we haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name is Alessandro Gonzalez. I'm one of the ministry associates here. I have the privilege of serving alongside Pastor Allen here with the Young Adults Ministry and Praxis. So before we begin, and we have a couple of books to give away, similar to last week. And so we have two books on George Mueller that we'll go ahead and decide who will walk away with these books tonight. So for this first one, I want to use some criteria that, one, you actually want to read the book, and then two, that you actually know something about George Mueller, because I think this book will help in, if you already know something about him, you'll probably get more out of this book than the other one. So who can tell me what George Mueller is known for? One thing that he's known for. Besides having an umlaut in his name, Mueller. Anybody? Okay, you have won this book. So afterwards, you can come grab this one. Okay, now for the other one, if, you know, you don't, it sounds like most of us in here don't know too much about George Mueller. So if you don't know anything about him, but you want to be encouraged, you want to grow, and you just need some encouragement, you know, just flash your hand up. Don't think about too much. Okay, you can come up and grab it afterwards. And then, great. So, you know, Mueller is great. I hope we're going to have a good time tonight. Looking at this brother, George Mueller, you will be encouraged. I was greatly encouraged. So join me for another word of prayer before we begin. Our gracious Father, we are so incredibly thankful to hear about the life of your servant, George Mueller. Lord, I pray that you bless this time tonight, that your Holy Spirit would really work in everyone here tonight, that we would be greatly encouraged to know Christ more, to love you more, to serve you more, to have a bigger faith and a bigger trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would use all of us mightily, as mightily as you've used your servant George Mueller, that we would all be focused on glorifying you, even in the small things in our life. Oh, Father, give us the faith and the trust that we need in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's begin this evening with a question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Now, I ask that question not from a stance of accusation, but really from a stance of provocation. I want you to really consider that question. Do I really trust God? As we examine the life of George Mueller tonight, to help set the stage, I want to read a bit of an extended passage from Matthew 6, and it's on the slides, so you don't need to worry about getting there, but Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. It reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, this is a passage that I'm sure resonated in the heart of George Mueller every day of his life, and I hope that it will resonate in yours as well. Now, George Mueller was born in, I don't even know how to say this, Kruppenstedt, you know what I'm saying, Prussia, which is now in modern-day Germany, in the year 1805. So he lived all the way until 1898, so almost the entirety of the 1800s. Now, Mueller was an exceptional man of godliness, a man of faith in the Lord, but he was not always so. Now, as a boy, Mueller was well-versed in sin. He was not your average church boy. Now, from a young age, he was a thief, he was a liar, and he was a drunkard, among other things. Now, he had developed this ugly habit of stealing money from his father, who was a tax collector. Now, his father had suspected that he had been stealing from him for some time, so he gave him this little test. He left a little money in one of the rooms that Mueller was in, and then he left, and he came back finding that a small portion had been missing. Now, the cunning young Mueller had hidden it inside of his shoe. But this wasn't the first time that he was caught or the first time that he was punished for stealing from his father. But it was the same thing each time. Every time he stole and he got caught and he got punished, he wasn't thinking about how to not do it again, but he was thinking about how to do it without getting caught the next time. And so at the age of 16 in 1821, he had already landed himself in jail because he was in debt and without money, and he had been staying in a bunch of inns, partying it up without paying. And so while he was sitting in the confines of his prison cell, he began to remember that about 2 years prior, so roughly age 14, he had gone on a Saturday night to go play cards, and he played all the way till 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. Now, he didn't know that his mother had fallen ill, so we'll give him that. But after playing cards, he went and he got wasted at the local tavern. And he wandered around the streets in a drunken stupor with his friends. And then, after that, he went to some religious classes, confirmation classes, and then he returned to his room. Now, upon returning to his room, he found his father there waiting for him, waiting to give him the news. "Your mother is dead. Prepare yourself for the funeral." Now, apparently, before going to the Catholic ceremony of confirmation, he says that he committed some kind of sin that he described as a gross immorality. Now, later, when he was going to confess this particular sin to the priest, he actually stole more money again because his father gave him a sum of money to give to the priest, but of course he only gave him a 12th of that amount of money. This was the kind of life that George Mueller had lived. This is the life in his BC days, right? Before Christ. Well, his father wanted to send Mueller to the university to study divinity, to study theology. And we would think that's a great thing. Yes, this man needs theology. He needs to know God. But that was not his father's intention for sending him there. What he wanted was for him to study divinity, get his degree, become a priest, and then he'd be set for life. Because in those days, your salary just depended on your degree if you were serving in the church. And so that's what his dad wanted for him, to have a cush job and to be set with good payment for the rest of his days. So Mueller attended. He sought to give up his old ways, but to no avail, surprise, surprise. And he struggled with managing his money. And early on, he already reached the point where he had to pawn his watch. He had to pawn his clothing in order to survive. So he was miserable, but he found that he was utterly unsuccessful to improve himself. But the Lord had a plan for this man's life. And it was not a plan to improve him. It was a plan to make him a new man in Christ. Now, this Mueller, he was a cunning old chap, as they say in England, even though he's German. So one day, he saw an old friend named Beda. Now, they weren't close friends by any means, but he knew him. He knew he was a friend. And so Mueller approaches Beda, and he greets him, and he says, "Hey, Beda, why don't we go on this trip to Switzerland?" And then his good old buddy Beda replies, "But we have no money, and we have no passports." And so Mueller brilliantly responds. He says this, "Leave that to me. This is my plan. Forge letters from your parents which entitle you to passports. Sell all you can, especially books which fetch a good price, so that we can raise enough funds to make the journey. Let me have all the money, and I will buy the necessary tickets." And so they made their way to Switzerland, as simple as that. Now, just to be clear, obviously, this is not the part I want you to learn about Mueller and what to imitate. Not to try to swindle people or pull a fast one on them, or in this case, in my opinion, a not-so-fast one on him. I mean, Beta, come on, bro. You got to open your eyes a little bit and see what's going on. So sometime after returning from Switzerland, Beta invites Mueller to a Christian meeting that he had been attending. Now, interestingly enough, Mueller was actually interested in attending this meeting. And that evening actually changed his life forever. Now, they met in a house, and the man leading the meeting welcomed him cheerfully, even though Mueller actually expected not to be welcomed into this meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, the leader goes and he kneels down before the group on his knees, and he asks God to bless the meeting. Right in front of everyone, he bows on his knees to pray and to ask for God's blessing on this meeting. George Mueller had never seen such a thing before, and so his attention was gripped. Then the leader goes on and he reads a passage from the Bible, and then he has to read a sermon to the group. Now, he read the sermon because it was actually against the law at that time to preach a sermon without an ordained priest with you. And so he just read the sermon to everyone. Now, upon concluding, they sing a hymn, and the leader closes once again in prayer. And as Mueller was walking home with his friend Beta, he said to him, he goes, "Beta, all that we saw on our journey to Switzerland and all of our former pleasures, they are as nothing compared to this evening." So Mueller was touched. Mueller was gripped. Something had happened to him in that meeting. And he slept peacefully and happily that evening in bed. And his life was changed forever. Now, later on, as Mueller was reflecting on that evening, this is what he wrote about it. He said, "It pleased God to teach me something of the meaning of that precious truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. I understood something of the reason why the Lord Jesus died on the cross and suffered such agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane, even that thus bearing the punishment due to us, we might not bear it ourselves. And therefore, apprehending in some measure the love of Jesus for my soul, I was constrained to love him in return. What all the exhortations and precepts of my Father and others could not effect, what all my own resolutions could not bring about, even to renounce a life of sin and profligacy, I was enabled to do, constrained by the love of Jesus. The individual who desires to have his sins forgiven must seek it through the blood of Jesus. The individual who desires to get power over sin must likewise seek it through the blood of Jesus." And so, my friends, if you are visiting with us this evening and you are not a Christian, I want you to know that you are not here tonight by accident. You are here as a sovereign appointment by God to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to hear the reality that even if you are a sinner like Mueller and like myself, that there is indeed hope for you, that you can be forgiven, that your sins can be all wiped away. And that happens as you turn from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that he died in your place on the cross and that he rose again for the dead, and you shall receive that forgiveness of your sins. So there is nothing that you or I can do on our own to deal with our sin except what God has already done for you. So I encourage you, I press you, if you are not a believer in Christ, to consider what he's done for you on the cross, as Mueller has just told us. So, do you believe God? Do you trust God? I tell you that I have been praying for you before tonight, and I will continue to pray for you tonight. So Mueller had become a Christian. He was a new man in Christ, and he stopped lying and stealing and gambling and drinking and all of that craziness. And the Lord put it on his heart to become a missionary, and so he attempted to go and serve in Romania. But that was put on hold due to a war that was happening there between the Russians and the Turks. So he begins to study Hebrew, and he was eventually approached to be a missionary to the Jews who were living in London. Now, he made his way there and also had gone through some serious health issues that almost killed him because he had a hemorrhage in his stomach. But throughout this whole process, there was a pause before he could serve in London, and his health led him slightly to the west in the UK. And so during this pause, he began to preach the gospel and to hand out gospel tracts to people with his address. And he invited people to come into his home so that he could have a Bible study with them, so he could share the gospel with them. And he eventually became a pastor in a town named Teignmouth. And he fell in love with this lovely sister in Christ in the town of Exeter, which is just about 16 miles away. Now he writes this letter to Mary, and he proposes to Mary in this letter that she would join him in marriage. And 4 days later, she accepted, and they prayed together on their knees for God's blessing in their marriage. Now, I wonder if that is, you know, the equivalent of proposing via text message or something like that, which I don't advise you young men, you fine young men, don't propose through a text message. So they get married, and they celebrate the Lord's Supper, and then they return to Teignmouth, and they begin to work for the Lord. No honeymoon, no nothing. The next day, they begin their work to serve God. Now, at this point, we begin to see another change in Mueller's life. God changes him once again. So once Mueller and Mary are back and they're serving, they come to this conviction that it was wrong for them to receive a salary from the church. Now, I don't know all of his reasons why he felt this way, and him and his wife were compelled that they were not to receive a set salary from the church. I don't know why they thought that. And so what they did is they put a box in the back of the church, and if anyone wanted to support them, they could put some of their offerings in there. Now, at the same time, Mueller decided that he was not going to ask anyone, and I mean no one, for financial help in any way. Now, instead, he would go to the Lord in prayer instead of asking people for help, instead of asking people to support him. He would make his needs known only to the Lord. And this is the beginning of one of the most amazing and gracious and crazy and yet so stable roller coaster ride in their life. Because from the very beginning, things were tight. So 3 weeks after they made and they announced this decision to their church, they were reduced to 8 shillings. Now, for reference, a farmer laborer would make about 10 shillings a week. And 10 shillings was equivalent to 50 pence. And look, there's a lot of units in England that I don't know what this stuff is going on. There's shillings, there's pence, there's sovereigns, there's pounds, there's guineas, there's crowns, there's quids, farthings, half pennies. I don't know what any of that is. All I know is that I'm American. And so For the sake of tonight, though, I think you can get the picture. When we talk about the shillings and the pounds and whatever, you can get the big picture. So we're not going to bother converting units and all that kind of stuff. But okay, Mueller, Mary to Mary, they're down to 8 shillings. So what do? They pray because they need the money to survive. Now, a lady in their congregation approaches them, and she says to them, "Do you need money?" Mueller responded, "I told the brethren, dear sister, when I gave up my salary, that I would for the future tell the Lord only about my needs." And so she responded that 2 weeks prior, she had been praying to God, asking God what she should do for him, and that the Lord had pressed it upon her heart to give money to Mueller. And then a week later, it pressed on her mind again, and then again the night before, and she couldn't help but tell another brother about it, what was going on with her in her mind. So Mueller did not tell her about any of their circumstances, but instead, he changed the subject. And when the lady left, she gave him 2 guineas, which was about 42 shillings. Now, the following week, they were again down to 9 shillings, and Mueller prayed, trusting the Lord and telling no one. And within 30 hours, they had 7 pounds and 10 shillings, which was about 150 shillings from 3 separate sources. Now, the kindness of God and the promise of God was set at work. And it was an encouragement to Mueller as he began this incredible journey. Because remember our passage from earlier in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So Mueller and his wife, they held on to this promise. And they held on to the other promises in the Word of God. And they persevered in prayer to the Lord, leaning on him and trusting in him. And this all began in 1830. And Mueller lived all the way till 1898. He was only 25 years old when he started this, and he lived to 92. He went 67 years living like this in full dependence on God. Now, he would always go to the Lord for his needs, and he was resolved to never ask anyone, and he wouldn't let any of his associates, people that were serving with him in the ministry, he wouldn't allow them either to ask for money and to ask for contributions to the ministry. Now, I need to make a side comment as we're looking at this. A side comment for a second so I don't unintentionally lead you astray. So the trusting and the leaning on God for provision is totally and completely biblical, as we've seen in our passage. But the restriction by Mueller to never ask another human being for help or to give to the ministry, that is not a restriction that is found in Scripture. Because we find in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul discusses giving to support the needs of others. And we see in 1 Timothy 5 that the elders who rule well should be paid their wages. So the trusting and depending on God is completely biblical. I want to stress that to you. But the not accepting of a wage and the restriction of not asking people to give to the ministry, that is something that Mueller placed upon himself. So again, I don't know how he came to that conviction, but we can see something of his motivation, though. We'll see a little bit of that in a bit. Now let's look through at a couple of incidents and see if we might glean something from ourselves from our brother Mueller. So it appears that whoever was responsible for checking the box in the back of the church had forgotten to check it for some time. And so Mueller prayed. He prays, "Dear Father, please impress it upon Brother Y," we don't know his name, Brother Y, "that we want money so that he will open the box." A magnificent prayer. And so the next morning at breakfast, the Muellers had just enough butter for a friend and for a relative who was staying with them. And of course, they hadn't mentioned anything to anyone about this. But after the morning meeting, Brother Y opened the box and found almost 2 pounds in there to give to Mueller. This was about 2 weeks of wages. Now, Brother Y told Mueller, "My wife and I couldn't sleep last night, worrying that you and Mrs. Mueller might be in need." Well, it was difficult for our brother George Mueller not to smile, since he had just been praying for Brother Y the night before. Now, it was true that they were often down to the last penny, and sometimes they didn't even have a penny. And at times, they didn't have enough money to buy bread when the last bit of bread that they had was on the table. However, they never sat down for a meal without a nourishing amount of food on the table. On November 16th, the Muellers had no money to buy dinner, and so they prayed to the Lord to help for dinner. And after praying, they opened a package that had arrived from Exmouth, some 4 miles away, and it had a ham in it, which was enough for them and a friend who was staying with them. Now, Mueller kept meticulous records of all of these events, and I'm sure there must have been thousands of incidents like this in his lifetime. But just from these few incidents that we've seen, there's a few things that stand out. For one, we see the Lord's provision. There are so many accounts similar to these where the Muellers had gotten down to the point where they had practically nothing left, and the Lord provided exactly what they needed or just a little bit more than what was needed. The Muellers were seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord provided for all of their needs. They trusted God, and God provided. Now, another observation that we can make is that they were in great need themselves, and yet they were still hosting, and they were serving their friends and their relatives. They had people staying in their home with them, and they were already living sacrificially, and yet they were ready to love and to serve others. Now, this highlights their heart of service to God and to the people of God. It highlights their love and their service for the people that God placed in their life. Now, even in their dire need, they were serving the Lord and they were thinking about others. Again, he trusted God and God provided. Another observation is Mueller's boldness in prayer. I find it so interesting that he would never ask anyone to support or to give to him, but he was so bold when he approached the throne of grace and asked God to provide for his needs. It was often that Mueller would pray, "Dear God, press it upon Brother X's heart to give 3 pounds. Put it on Sister A's heart to support the ministry." It's fascinating that he would pray in such a way. And amazingly, those very people were the ones that often would give. Those were the ones that responded. And what I love about this whole thing is that the people responded in their hearts with a serving and a generous attitude. The people were brought into the Mueller's ministry, which was small at this point in time, and they served him and they helped him and they essentially partnered with him. And as we will see soon, the ministry exploded, and so many people were moved by the Holy Spirit to love and to serve and to give. So Mueller trusted God, and God provided. God used those various means through his people to serve and to provide. So let's continue examining the life of our dear brother Mueller. Now, some years later, Mueller moved to Bristol, some 100 miles north of Teignmouth. He served as a pastor there, and with a like-minded brother, he founded the Scriptural Knowledge Institution for home and abroad. Now, this was established in order to provide day schools, Sunday schools, adult schools, where the scriptures would be taught to the people. They were also set upon distributing Bibles, as many as they could. Lastly, the institution was focused on aiding missionary work for the gospel and the spread of the gospel abroad. Now, all of that was very beneficial to gospel work. And by the time we reach the end of Mueller's life, in the final year, just for that 1 year, they're already giving out to missionaries 70,000 pounds. Now, who knows whatever that is? That's a ton of money back then. It's a ton of money now. But that work is not the work that Mueller is known for. In 1835, Mueller began to be pressed on his heart on another matter. In those days, sadly, there were many, many orphans throughout England. And so it was not uncommon that parents would contract diseases like tuberculosis and pass away, leaving the children to fend for themselves. And the situation was bleak for children because they could live in the street or they could end up in places that were not very conducive to their well-being. These were called workhouses. You can research that if you like. And the government orphanages were not very good, and they had a complex system of allowing orphans into these orphanages. And so it basically led the children who were in most need without any options. Now, additionally, at this time, privately owned and run orphanages was a rare thing. It just didn't exist back then. And so in November 1835, Mueller began praying about opening an orphanage. And he prayed earnestly about it and was seeking to discern the Lord's will and to make sure that he had the right heart motivation to pursue this endeavor. Now, apparently, he had prayed for 40 pounds for some form of confirmation, I suppose, and he received 50. And so it was such a great encouragement to him. And after consulting with trusted brothers and checking his heart motivations with them, they encouraged him that his heart was pointing in the right direction, that he should proceed. Now, what a blessing that he had trustworthy and godly friends to serve him in that way. So what was underlying Mueller's desire to begin an orphanage? Let's hear it in his own words. "I certainly did, from my heart, desire to be used by God, to benefit the bodies of poor children, bereaved of both parents, and seek, in other respects, with the help of God, to do them good for this life. I also particularly longed to be used by God in getting the dear orphans trained up in the fear of God. But still, the first and primary object of the work was that God might be magnified by the fact that the orphans under my care are provided with all they need only by prayer and faith, without anyone being asked by me or my fellow laborers, whereby it may be seen that God is faithful still and hears prayers still." Right? Did you catch that? Yes, Mueller cared about the physical well-being of orphans. Yes, he cared about their spiritual well-being and that the orphans might come to know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But his primary concern is that God might be magnified, that God would be glorified in this work. And how did Mueller propose to do that? By never asking anyone and not allowing his fellow laborers to ask for money. They were all to pray and to believe that God would provide for all their needs. The glory of God is what motivated Mueller. Now, he had noticed that people he interacted with, they didn't really trust God. And even though they knew what they should do, they didn't trust God enough to act on it. They didn't trust in God's promises. And so Mueller, by seeing this, he wanted to glorify God and give people this example to show that God is still faithful and he still hears our prayers. Now, isn't that a problem that you and I face today? Like, do you really trust that God is hearing your prayers? Yeah, I'm sure we all struggle with that because it's been a struggle from the very beginning. Right, you hear in Genesis 3, did God really say? And so they're not trusting God when they act out in sin. We hear it from the Garden of Eden, from the very beginning. But do we really trust God when we know that he has his best interest in us? And do we trust God when life is hard? So Mueller sought to live his life and to make an orphan ministry that would highlight the trustworthiness of God by believing the Word of God and living it out. Now, is that not a great calling for all of our lives? To trust God, to believe Him, to live out His Word, His commands, and His promises? That is one way that we can serve our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, by living this exemplary life of obedience and faith in God as an example and an encouragement to others. Did you ever think about that? That as we live in obedience and faith in Christ, our life can be an example to encourage them. We're serving them by our own personal obedience and trust in the Lord. So this was one of Mueller's primary concerns in beginning this orphan ministry. So let's see how it all plays out. At the beginning, Mueller had a meeting, presumably with the people and the leaders in his church, in his congregation, and he outlined the proposal for the orphanage. And he once again made it clear that no one is to ask for support, but only to pray. And so he began to pray for God to provide money for the expenses, to provide a staff for the orphanage, and for a location where they might begin. And sure enough, the next day he received a letter from a husband and a wife offering to serve if Mueller thought them qualified. They also offered their furniture. They offered to serve without pay, believing that if it was God's will for them to serve there, that the Lord would provide for their needs. Now that same evening, a friend came by, and he brought with him 3 dishes, 28 plates, 3 basins, 1 jug, 4 mugs, 3 salt stands, 1 grater, 4 knives, and 5 forks. I mean, these are the kind of records that Mueller kept for all of it, everything, for all these years. And he prayed to God for even more evidence of God's favor. I mean, isn't that incredible? I think up to this point, we would all be amazed if it was us in his shoes and this started happening. But Mueller wants more evidence of God's glory. And so literally, while he's on his knees praying for more, someone delivered 3 dishes, 12 plates, and another basin to him. Now, there is this other touching account that shows the heart of Mueller, and it also shows the heart of God's people that were involved in this. So someone had given £100 to help start the orphanage, which again, in that day, was a lot of money. And here's what happened. When he heard who had sent the £100, Mueller was reluctant to accept it. He knew that the donor earned about 3 shillings and 6 pence a week by needlework and decided to visit her. "While I'm most grateful for your generous gift," he said, "I want to make quite sure that you thought carefully about what you are doing. I have been left with £480 on the death of my father," she told Mueller. "I have parted with a large sum to pay off some outstanding family debts, and I've given my mother £100. I then sent the £100 toward the orphan house." Now, Mueller spoke at length, trying to persuade her to reconsider. "The Lord Jesus has given his last drop of blood for me," she replied. "Should I not give all the money I have? Rather than the orphan house should not be established, I will give all the money I have. Here is another £5 for the poor members of Gideon and Bethesda chapels, the places where he served." I love this example, because it shows Mueller's concern for the people, right? He's not some prosperity preacher trying to get all the money out of the poor people for himself. That's not what's going on here. He cares for this woman's well-being. He wants to make sure that she's not doing something rash, even though he's the one who's never asking anyone for support. I mean, this is his heart for the people. But the lady, she also shows trust and love for the Lord, right? "He has given his last drop of blood for me. Should I not give all the money that I have?" And so her motivation is love for the Lord, as she knows Jesus laid down his life for her, and Christ gave up his life for the forgiveness of her sins. And she is willing to give as much as she can in his service. So I love this example of faith, this example of love, the example of service for the sake of Christ. Now, for the sake of time, we have to speed through the rest and skip a tremendous amount of detail. I mean, we're talking about forks and spoons and little salt shakers that he's keeping track of. But the orphanage opens with 30 kids and staff. And that was 3 meals a day, 7 days a week for all of them, plus clothing and school supplies and household supplies. Soon after, they had 60 children and 2 houses on the same street where they were all to be cared for. Now, Mueller continued to pray boldly for all the needs of the orphanage, and he continued to pray to God to lay it on specific people to give. Now, he would pray every single day, at times for multiple hours on his knees. He read about George Whitefield, which is another amazing Christian you should read about. And he was struck how George Whitefield not only prayed on his knees, but he would spend hours on his knees reading his Bible. Now, all of this is happening, and Mueller is not even 33 years old yet. Not even 33, and he lives to 92. Now, from 1838 to 1846, about 8 years, there were significant financial trials. Now, these were the years of the greatest trials of his faith. Some months they had plenty, some months they had very little. But they never told the children what was going on. And it's just amazing of God's grace. The children were always taken care of in the same manner. Even if the bank was empty or the bank had 800 pounds sitting in it, the children were always cared for the same. They never lacked anything. Again, there is a myriad of accounts of praying and receiving what they needed to feed the children in the very hour in which they prayed. So just like the Israelites in the desert, God sent them enough. Not excessive that they might forget God, but enough for what they needed each day. I suppose that none of us in this room are living in such a manner, depending day by day on the Lord for the very next meal. But suppose for a moment that you were. And I imagine that each and every day, if I had this constant struggle of not knowing where my next meal was coming from, I would be pretty stressed out, and I would be pretty anxious and flustered. But Mueller's example is instructive for us. Now, he persisted each day. And what's amazing is that it was never begrudgingly. It was always joyfully trusting in the provision of the Lord. And sure enough, each day the Lord provided for their needs each day. Now, Mueller says again, the chief end for which the institution was established is that the Church of Christ at large might be benefited by seeing manifestly the hand of God stretched out on behalf in the hour of need in answer to prayer. Our desire, therefore, is not that we might be without trials of faith, but that the Lord graciously would be pleased to support us in the trial, that we might not dishonor him by distrust. Now, this way of living brings the Lord remarkably near. He is, as it were, morning by morning, inspecting our stores, that accordingly he may send help. Greater and more manifest nearness of the Lord's presence I have never had than when after breakfast there was no means for dinner, and then the Lord provided the dinner for more than 100 persons. Or when after dinner there were no means for the tea, and yet the Lord provided the tea. And all this without one single human being having been informed about our need. Now, the Lord provided for their daily needs. And again, it's not just for Mueller. It's for the entire orphanage. Now, that's quite incredible when you think about, right? We're not talking about 20 bucks here and there at the last minute. That's not going to feed over 100 people. So they are needing, I'm guessing in today's terms, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for each meal. And just enough is coming in for each meal. Just enough at the right time from all kinds of different random sources. So only the sovereignty of God can orchestrate such a thing to provide for his people who are trusting in him. So in 1842, he had been significant. It had been a significantly trying year. But when accounts were made, the expenditures for the orphanage were just over 1,337 pounds. And the total income to the orphanage was 1,339 pounds. So I wish we had more time for all the details, because it just goes on and on and on with God providing at just the right time. And just as a side note, these children, they were much better cared for in Mueller's orphanages compared to the other orphanages. The boys and the girls, they were well-dressed with their hair nice and tidy. They had daily attires as well as nice clothing to wear for their special occasions. They were well-educated in reading, writing, arithmetic, the Word of God, geography, history, and grammar. And they would also be trained in various skills for a trade or to serve in domestic service. Though some people at the time, they were going against such a thing. They were going against that. They basically thought orphanages should not be teaching orphans this, because they thought that orphans didn't deserve that, that they're of a lower class. They don't need to be taught that stuff. But our dear brother Mueller, he was a radical in that regard at that time, because he said, no, they need to be taught. They need to be educated. They need to read and write, and of course, primarily to know the Word of God, so that they might be able to read and examine and study and meditate on the Word of God for themselves. Now, eventually, you can imagine 100 kids living in two little houses on a street. They're going to get a noise complaint. And by God's sovereignty and by God's grace, they did get that noise complaint. And so they had to find a way to deal with this. So the Lord provided for Mueller to find a huge lot of land and to have the money to build up two or multiple houses for orphans. And they were able to house and care for over 2,000 orphans at a single time. So you can imagine the amount of money needed to provide for food, shoes, combs, brushes, building maintenance, activity, staffing, everything else that's involved. You need to read the accounts of George Mueller to see how God provided tremendously for them. So there is so much detail in the meticulous care and the meticulous provision from God, not just for Mueller, but for all of these children and all of the staff. Now think about how God used this man and all the donors that were involved to provide and to care for thousands and thousands of orphans over decades of time, not just for their physical needs, but more importantly for their spiritual well-being and for their salvation in the gospel of Christ. Right? That's all of that is what's taking place in these orphanages for these children. Now, it's something to really ponder about, that by this one man's motivation to glorify God and to trust in him and his word, that so much benefit was brought to thousands and thousands of people, and that God was glorified through these people in the world. Something to really think about. This one man's trust, this one man's holding on to the promises of God, how it affected thousands of lives at that time. Now, eventually, when Mueller was about 70 years of age, after about 35 years of working and leading the orphanage, he passed on the responsibility to his son-in-law, who had proven capable and faithful to lead it. But for the next 17 years of his life, Mueller does not go into retirement. No, him and his wife, they travel across Europe. They go to North America, to the Middle East, to India, to China, Japan, Australia, all across the globe to preach the gospel at 70 years old plus. Often he would preach multiple times a day to hundreds or thousands of people and also have many meetings throughout the day. Now, each time he returned home to England from these trips, he was warmly and cheerfully welcomed by thousands of orphans when he returned home. What an amazing sight to see. Now, he eventually made his final return to England in 1892 and then died in 1898. Now, after heading just a little bit, hearing just a little bit about Mueller's amazing life, we must ask the question, what compels a man to live like this? And not only that, but what gives a man the perseverance to live such a life as Mueller's? Now, there's only one answer that he gives. Can you think what it might be? What compels a man to live like that? What helps him to persevere, to live in such a way? There's only one answer he gives, and that is joy in God. Joy in God. That is the only way to live a loving, a God-honoring, a sacrificial, self-denying life for Christ. So George Mueller was sustained each day in his amazing life by experiencing the joy of knowing God each day. Now, the more we know God, the more we will enjoy him. And even in heaven, our joy will be even more full because we will know him more fully as we behold Christ for eternity. And how do we know God and enjoy him? Well, it's no secret. There's nothing new under the sun. But how refreshing to see that after decades of an amazing life, George Mueller points us to the very thing that is available to each and every one of us. George Mueller says, "Now, in brotherly love and affection, I would give a few hints to my younger fellow believers as to the way in which to keep up spiritual enjoyment. It is absolutely needful in order that happiness in the Lord may continue, that the scriptures be regularly read. These are God's appointed means for the nourishment of the inner man. Consider it and ponder over it. Especially, we should read regularly through the scriptures consecutively and not pick out here and there a chapter. If we do, we remain spiritual dwarfs. I tell you so affectionately. For the first 4 years after my conversion, I made no progress because I neglected the Bible. But when I regularly read on through the whole with reference to my own heart and soul, I directly made progress. And then my peace and joy continued more and more. And now I have been doing this for 47 years. I have read through the whole Bible about 100 times, and I always find it fresh when I begin again. Thus, my peace and joy have increased more and more." Now, we should be greatly amazed and yet so encouraged that the way to this joy-filled life of love and service is to pick up your Bible and read it to know God and to nourish your soul. In many ways, it really does just boil down to that. Know God through his word that he's given to us in Scripture. Now, as you reflect on your life and in the past and the trajectory of your future life, I ask you, what will you do? What will you do? Will you trust God? Will you believe in God and his promises? Again, I encourage you, see this man's amazing life. What was it? It was daily Bible reading, enjoying God through the word. That's the simple key. We've heard it a million times. This man did nothing different. He read his Bible. He believed God. And see how many thousands of people have been affected by it. Now, John Piper said that the aim of George Mueller's life was to glorify God by helping people take God at his word. And I believe George Mueller accomplished that aim by God's grace, and I think that he served us well this evening. So please join me as we pray for God's blessing. Our gracious God, we have seen you work in this man's life. We have seen how simple faith, believing you, trusting your word, putting our faith in your promises. Lord, that you can do such amazing and tremendous things in the life of a servant. And you can bring so many to yourself to believe in Christ, to also serve one another, to preach the gospel, to glorify you simply by this act of studying your word, knowing you, enjoying you, believing in you. Father, in some ways we might feel guilty for not reading our word, reading your word, for not spending time in our Bibles, for not accomplishing so much in our lifetime, even though George Mueller had done so much more at his age. But Lord, help us not to feel despair, but help us to find hope that all it is a simple enjoyment of you through your word and trusting in you and watching you work in our lives and in the lives of others around us. Father, press that upon our hearts tonight, not just tonight, but for many, many nights and weeks and years to come. Help us to find our joy in Christ and in him alone. Help us to lay down our lives that you would be glorified in it. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We ask for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.